Hello and welcome back to The Other Side of Perfect, and an episode that I have been really excited to post. On today's show, I had a bit of a career pinch me moment, and I think you can tell at the start of this interview just how secretly excited that I am. Whilst staying in the Holmes Hotel in London, the Samantha Chapman of Pixie Woo came to visit little old me. In fact, she travelled 3 hours from Norwich, which I'm eternally grateful for. Sam was one of the pioneers of beauty YouTube and is up there with the makeup artist greats. She certainly inspired my original career path as an MUA. In this episode, we dive straight into what it was like growing a community online whilst also battling depression behind closed doors, working so closely with Sam's sibling, Nick Chapman, and moving from Pixie Woo success to Real Techniques and beyond. This is a jam-packed chat filled with words of wisdom, hints of sarcasm, candid charisma and honesty. Sam offers opinions on the world of photography, lighting, editing, fillers, filters, and even handling hate online. We also discuss trying to find freedom from your career, what makeup really means to Sam, parenthood, and the products you need in your makeup bag. Quick thank you to our sponsors of Series 2, Clean Cut Meals, who are now offering 30% off meals and a giveaway of 4 weeks worth of meal prep if you join the Tossup community today. Please check the link in the show notes or head to theothersideofperfect.com to find out more. For as little as $9.99 per month, there's a chance to win a romantic break for two at Rainforest Spa just in time for Valentine's or Galentine's Day. You can get plenty of discounts like 20% off booking the Armada Hotel for the month of February. There's a video library of workouts that you can try at home with myself and Brian Keane, walking you through perfect form for the Movement for Mindset downloadable. There's a recipe book from The Happy Pair, private podcasts, and lots more as part of this uplifting community. I love getting your feedback and I hope you're enjoying all of the content so far. With all of that out of the way, let's welcome Samantha Chapman. Samantha Chapman, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited.
It's great.
I literally was just saying before we started recording that I remember tweeting you in my early makeup days where I was known as the makeup fairy, and it was the dream world for me. Your job was the epitome of who I would write down in a questionnaire of who I look up to in terms of career. So
that's adorable.
This is one of these little pinch me moments.
Thanks. Lovely.
So I really obviously respect what you do, you are as a person, and I think that how you've kind of amalgamated everything in your career and taken it to where you are now is just very admirable. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I don't know what to say now.
You could just say thanks. In Ireland, we have this kind of phrase where we're really bad at taking compliments. And if somebody compliments what we're wearing, we just say, thanks, hon, pennies, hon. So like Primark.
Yeah.
So you belittle the compliment and just... A lot of my listeners will be very much in the world of beauty and maybe aspiring makeup artists. So I would love to backtrack.
Yes.
And discuss as if you're talking to someone who doesn't have a clue who you are.
Yeah.
Where you started. And I'd like to kind of put some context on this. So Samantha, your aunt would have been a makeup artist for the likes of Diana and worked with famous celebrities and Bowie and some of the greats. So makeup is in your blood.
Yes, it is. So when I was a kid, I mean, I was pretty good at art at school, but not much else. So when I had to think about what I was going to do when I left school, I just thought, I'm going to do makeup, because my aunt was the most successful person in our family. So it seemed like a pretty dead cert. And also, we got on really well. So I knew that she'd take me on shoots. So I started assisting her when I was about, I reckon the first job I went on, I was about 15. So straight from school, really. I was doing it while I was
at school.
Yeah. And then I went to college and did a 2-year diploma in makeup. And then I moved to London and got jobs in various stores and did makeup from then. So I've been doing it. What am I? I'm 42 now. So I've been doing it since I was young, 15, 16. Then in 2004, I had my first daughter, Lily. She is, 15 now?
Who is beautiful.
She's beautiful. So she's 15 now. And being pregnant, I was like, right, okay, I've just got to make some money. You know, I had a job working on a counter, and I knew that I had probably, 7 months to make enough money to get me through maternity. Mm-hmm. So I just
Which is the life of a freelancer.
Totally. So I just started freelancing. So before anyone could turn me down for jobs because I was pregnant, I just went out and just balled it. Do you know what I mean? I went around every magazine, I built up clients, and it kind of carried me through. So I was quite lucky. Then 4 years later, I was pregnant again with my second daughter. And then and that's when the YouTube channel started. So I'd got into being online and talking to people about makeup, and someone asked me how to do a smoky eye, and I just filmed it and put it on YouTube. And that was the beginning of our social media career. So 2008, and what are we now?
2020.
12 years ago.
Yeah. But isn't it insane that 12 years ago, we were just talking, in retrospect, I would deem you yourself and Nick, the pioneers of YouTube. I know you are probably being humble in saying no, but you were the start of that catapult of beauty influencing.
I think,
without trying to be an influencer,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
I think, you know, Lauren Luke had been on there for a while before, and I think that she doesn't get enough credit, really, because Lauren, she kind of got chewed up and spat out. She had some people that sort of took advantage of her, and it messed with her mental health, as social media does with so many of us. And so I always try to give credit where credit's due, because she was on there long before we got on there, and she was one of the influences for me. As a makeup artist, I looked at Lauren and was like, hang on, this girl doesn't have any makeup training. So if she can do this and build this incredible empire, then what opportunities might it open for us? So, yeah, it was really Lauren Luke.
So after collating a library of in excess of, say, around 1,000 videos
Something
within
like
those 12 years and doing much more, which we'll delve into, when you look back at original videos of Sam, what do you see in your kind of retrospective self?
Well, I don't ever look back at them, to be honest. If I'm really, really honest, if I go onto one of those old videos, I don't, because they just remind me of, sometimes they remind me of sadness, sometimes they remind me of youth, sometimes they remind me of a time when I was thinner. And in social media, you're often a victim of the things that you see. Sometimes you're a victim of the things that you see of yourself, even though you know it's not real. So do you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's
a very thwarted kind of perception that we have when you're in the lens of social media and the media in general, where you're posting such an obscene amount of visual content and aesthetic of yourself that if you're not actually vain, you can become incredibly engrossed in obsessively picking at your body and your aesthetic and changing things and tweaking things. And was I better then? Was I more successful then? Was I happier then? I can't remember, because one portrays a certain appearance to keep in with brand. So
Absolutely.
Sometimes I know I'll often look back and think, I was so busy then. I need to get back to that. But was I portraying busyness then? It's a really strange kind of area.
I never look at any of them and think, I wish I was back there. I can tell you that for definite, because if I hadn't been so depressed and so sad for a lot of it, I wouldn't have been so successful on social media, because I wouldn't have been doing it. Frankly, it kept me busy. And because I could work and throw myself into it, completely immerse myself 24/7 in social media, regardless of, because, you know, when the UK's asleep, America's awake, I would sleep minimal amounts, sometimes because I couldn't, but a lot of the time because I could focus over here on this other thing without having to look at what was really going on. So I never look back at those and think, I wish I was there, regardless of how good I think I look in a video. I also know that I was definitely quite sad.
Do you think that it's a distraction almost from, as you mentioned, what's going on in real life, and that creative outlet was your happy place?
I don't think I was ever happy, but it was a great distraction, a really great distraction. And because I'd been unhappy for so long, I didn't recognize that I wasn't happy. It just become
normal.
Being like that was my normal. Yeah, definitely.
What I want to get into is listening to this, if you're somebody who's suffering from sadness, which most of the world is at the moment in some way, shape or form, but you have a dream.
Yeah.
How do you suggest to somebody to keep going the way you did? And it's easy to look back on the past because you're looking at it from a lens of intelligence, and it's almost an empathetic self looking back. How do you give someone that the breath of fresh air to keep going and to do and pursue what they want to?
Well, I think it has to start with being something that you actually can enjoy. You know, I suppose with social media, a lot of people go into it for for various reasons, and sometimes what some people would consider to be the wrong reasons these days, which is to make money. If you want to make money, be a banker, you know, because social media doesn't make money for everyone. And it actually, it's a very, you know, it's a very delicate place to be that's very fragile, can really mess with you. So I wouldn't recommend that you go into it to make money. You have to find something that you really love doing, whatever that is, whether it's jewelry making or pottery or makeup or clothes or interiors or gardening. All of these things are things that people are massively interested in watching. Mm. Even if you love making slime or cutting soap,
someone is going to watch it.
I watch it. I love ASMR. Yeah. So my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter got me into it, and I just love it.
I think you're quite right brain, so you're very much artistic and you can go into that deep side of the brain. And I think the ASMR nearly taps into that. I find it incredibly relaxing.
Yeah.
Adam thinks it's really weird.
Yeah.
But he's left brain, and he's very like, that's just somebody cutting up slices of sand. It's bizarre. Whereas to me, it actually gives a soothing kind of element.
Totally.
Go back to you being in that place,
mm-hmm.
and within that kind of 12-year span of where your career has catapulted, quite literally from being in a bedroom
mm-hmm.
with probably an iMac or whatever you recorded
for sure,
with.
It was.
And jumping to being as successful as you are, you had your sister Nick involved mm-hmm. in a lot of that.
Yeah.
What was it like working with a sibling? Was it a support system?
At times it definitely was. At times, yes, it was like, we get on better now. Because we work together less, because we work less. But we're in a great position where we can work less mm-hmm. because we worked so much, if you know what I mean. It's like we did 10 years hard slog, day and night, and we pushed each other relentlessly and mercilessly. And to the detriment of everyone around us, it was just me and Nick.
Tunnel vision.
It was complete tunnel vision, and we worked our asses off, and we took every opportunity that came at us. And now we can chill. And we get on so much better. But I mean, it could have broken our relationships. And there was times, you know, sometimes we'd be on these Real Techniques trips in the US and we'd be away from our families for 2 weeks, you know. And we'd be, the first couple of days we'd be fine because it's just me and my sister. It's like, you know, we're going on a trip together. We're going on a road trip, just me and my sister and everyone else, you know, everyone else that we work with. And that's fine. But then when the work gets involved, and when the pressure gets involved and when the lack of sleep gets involved, she's the one that gets it the most, or I'm the one that gets mm-hmm. it most. However, the flip side of that is I wouldn't be able to do social media without her because, and I don't know how anyone else does, absolute credit to them, because she's the backbone. Mm. And I have been hers when she's broken. You know, whoever's having an off day, and it'll always be one of us, the other one picks up the pieces. So we're lucky that there's two of us.
Yeah, because as you said, there's that exact balance where one mm-hmm. can aid the other
totally.
Because life happens.
Yeah.
And then equally, that's your nearest and dearest are who you take things out on.
Absolutely.
So when it's highly stressed, and I'd say when you're on those trips, and I know in a different way where when you're on the road,
yeah.
it's not as glamorous as people think.
God, no.
Hotels become quite boring.
Yeah.
This hotel is beautiful, but a hotel is a hotel and it becomes your routine and it can become quite lonely in that solace when you're traveling and you're in work mode. So you're not really switching off ever. And when you're in that driving career forward and social media is changing all the time, it's very hard to keep up. So you never actually stop.
I mean, we never sat there thinking about social media is changing. We've got to adjust for social media. We've just always done the opposite of whatever the trend was. So if the trend was contouring, we just do the opposite, no contouring, you know. So that's always been our kind of motivation. The more polished everything gets, the less polished and the more raw we get. And that's always worked for us.
So it's almost a rebellious.
Yeah, I just get bored very much of seeing the same thing over and over again.
So you're consistently able to reinvent yourself,
absolutely.
Which is probably why you were so successful.
I mean, but that's the thing with fashion makeup. You don't see the same thing every season. It's always the flip side. So it's just doing what we've always done. Mm-hmm. You know, autumn, winter and spring, summer don't have the same makeup. So we're used to doing the opposite every 6 months. Not hard.
Yeah.
But it seemed to work. Although, obviously, not so much now because we're stepping back a bit more.
Yeah.
Not completely, but just there's something about being in a really nice place and a really happy environment that I just don't feel like I need to be on social media so much. So I dip in and out. I pop in to say hello because obviously, you know, on my Instagram page, I have a personal audience who are, who some of them want to hear from me, and I want to talk to them too. So, you know, I pop in, but I don't think I could ever do it quite as relentlessly as I did before.
But you did it for such a long span. Yeah. Like, one becomes exhausted. You can't consistently be that relentless at pumping out content, because it would bleed you dry.
And it does. And, but it does. But again, I do feel really fortunate that I did. You know, do you know what I mean? Because I'm in such a different place.
It's given you freedom.
It's given me incredible freedom to now spend time with my kids, and because I miss so much, you know, the sports days and so many things. And even when I was present, I wasn't present, because I'd have my phone in my hand, or I'd have my depression head on, and I'd be somewhere else. So even if I was there, I wasn't. So it's good to, I feel like I'm making up time. Mm. You know what I mean?
But had you not had that prior experience, you wouldn't have the appreciation that you have now that you are present. And so it's come full circle in a positive way.
Oh,
anyway.
For sure. I mean, social media didn't get me better. I'm lucky that Dom, our manager, who's also one of my good friends, was able to point out to me that I wasn't very well, at which point I took the time.
Which is really nice for somebody in that realm, because it doesn't always happen.
Thank
they don't
God.
Really care.
I mean, honestly, thank God, because I'd probably been depressed most of my adult
life.
Is
he within Gleam?
Yeah, he runs Gleam. And I had absolutely no idea, but he had experience of it before. So when he got involved, suddenly I was like, right, okay, I'm now on antidepressants. I'm actually coming off them as we speak. But for the last, I don't know how long it's been, 2 years, antidepressants, 2 years, therapy. I went to my therapist yesterday and she said to me, you don't really have to come anymore if you don't want to. Just check in every 6 months or whatever.
What a dream outcome.
It's just, it's amazing, because in that 2 years, everything has changed. Absolutely everything.
And you're in love.
Yes, I am. Probably for, well, certainly for the first time I've been in love in my life where I haven't also been depressed.
Yeah.
So
you're fully immersed in that beautiful feeling.
Yeah. And he is incredible. So.
And he's gorgeous. He,
yeah. I feel really lucky, because he's the most supportive person ever.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's what you need. And I think that as one matures outside of being in your own head and also just life experiences, you realize that, yeah, it helps if someone's hot, but they need to be kind.
Absolutely.
And calm and supportive. It's those baseline things that ironically a lot of people are incapable of being, because they're so in their own head.
Totally. And and I've been there. I've been in my own head. I've been a completely terrible girlfriend. I've been that person. And he has been a terrible boyfriend as well. It's just circumstances. You know what I mean? We just got to a point where he's that bit older and I'm that bit older, and we've both done a lot of work on ourselves, and we've both sort of been at lows, that we're able to be together as a unit without there being any competition there.
How do you, and I know we were talking about this just before we started recording, the balance of what one shares online and what you keep off. Where's your line? Where do you draw that with what you share?
Well, in terms of previously, I mean, I've never been a big one to put a lot of my relationships online. And in fact, my previous boyfriend, in fact, I've never dated anyone in social media or anyone with any kind of presence. Most of the time, they're quite private people, because I am really. But I put on big life events. You know, I just showed everyone that we got a puppy. It's snippets. It's small 5 second snippets. And obviously, I told everyone that we got engaged. And I think if you catch me on a live, which are few and far between these days, you can ask me anything and I'll be completely honest about it. But I wouldn't share it in a post, but I would talk about it in a live if someone asked me. I've never been one to be sneaky or hide anything. Whatever you ask me, if you ask me if I have fillers, I say, yeah, I had fillers probably about, it's got to be about a year ago now was the last time.
Where?
I had some fillers in my cheekbones and some in my chin. And I had a little bit in my lips as well. And I had my lips done about, I reckon about 4 months ago now, but the cheeks, it doesn't last that long.
See,
so
I just love how, not that I even asked that question, but how honest you are, because there's, I think it takes a while to get to that point. Am I right? Like for me, it took time to be okay with removing the pride and the shame maybe I had kind of added to myself during this career, to just show the warts and all. And the, and it's not about, I share a lot of body image stuff, but the kind of self-deprecating side of just, I have this, or I've got, you know, cellulite and a bit of stretch marks. And like, it's becoming a little bit more like that online, which I love.
What's wrong with that? It's your personal choice. It would be, I personally feel uncomfortable about having work done and people thinking that I haven't, because I'm a 42-year-old woman and people only see, but people only see the lit version of me. They don't see what I really look like in real life. So I always feel the need to be very clear about the fact that I don't look like that without help. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, because it's being very kind to consumer, follower, fan, whatever you want to call that base that's seeing you, because they're not pitching themselves against the lit version.
Totally. It's entirely up to you whether you have it done or not. But I do feel that it's important that I let you know that I have.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody to think that that my forehead is like this naturally.
And it's about showing that you can be both as a woman
totally.
As well.
Because it's your choice.
We're just talking about that with angles. You know, you can see a press photo of yourself and you can go, good God.
Yeah.
And then you have your perfectly lit selfie where you are. You are both.
Well, you know what I do, because we just did a picture before. I don't look at the photos anymore because there's no real
benefit.
There's no benefit to me doing it other than for me to be self-critical. So I'm just like, there are so many terrible, 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 what I consider to be terrible photos of me online, which I hate. It doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter to me.
That must be very freeing though, that approach, because it's something that I certainly don't do. And yeah. I'm definitely critical when I look at stuff. To just not do it. So is that part of therapy work or is that just you?
It's just me. I think, you know what, as well, in my job as a makeup artist, you get to be around a lot of people that are really vain and really care about that stuff. And it's quite unappealing and not nice to be around. So I try.
As in, I must be on this side of you and it must be this life to hear.
Yeah,
I just. So structured.
Very. And I just can't be that person. I don't want to be that person. So I work not to be.
Yeah. And it can be work because yeah. you're seeing it in your realm. It becomes the norm within what you're doing, I'm sure,
totally.
Because you have a team around you the whole time that can supply the light.
For sure. So, I mean, I don't have a team around me at all, to be honest, ever.
But say, for example, when you're doing the likes of road shows with real
yeah.
techniques and
yeah,
stuff,
we do.
It's overwhelming because you can succumb to that route
yeah.
instead of paring it down.
I think as well, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, I posted a picture of, I really liked this bikini that I was sent by a company called Fantasy. They sent me a bunch of bikinis. I don't look great in a bikini. I'll be honest.
That's
I've had two kids. No, I mean, like,
is this the one where you've got a hat on and you're
yeah.
very relaxed?
I don't personally think I look good in a bikini, but that doesn't mean that other people might not. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we all have our perception of that. Anyway, I took a bunch of pictures in my room and I thought, and there were some that were posed and I did look thinner in, but then I also thought, well, I don't actually really look like that. So I'll just post the one where I'm a bit slouchy and
relaxed.
And it got mixed reviews. There's a lot of people that were very anti that pose. They were like,
really?
Yeah. They're like, this is very unappealing. And I found that
male,
really interesting.
Female?
Oh, a bit of both, I suppose. But I find that really interesting that you would prefer to see something so posed.
And yet, I guarantee you that same person would give out when it's so posed. So maybe it's someone who's going to critique either end.
Of course. I mean, I don't generally sit there thinking about it or worrying about it. If I did, I wouldn't have posted it in the first place. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But I just found that quite interesting. I am fascinated by
consumerism in general.
Yes, definitely.
Because we were only having discussion about something quite simplistic, but I was doing the subtitles to me speaking to camera,
yeah,
which I do because it's been requested where people perhaps are tapping through in work and they don't have the sound on.
Fab.
And I know a lot of people do that, but it's actually a lot of work on the other end because you're
huge.
Listening to yourself 10 times to type out exactly what you said with no typos just because somebody doesn't want to put the
yeah.
volume up in their phone. That's fine. But equally, we're having that discussion where Adam was like, you're succumbing a lot to the consumer because it's up to them if they want to listen at home when they're not
yeah.
at work with the volume up because you're speaking. So doing the effort of both sometimes maybe it's just madness because you could just keep, you know,
you're
keep
a better
going.
Woman than I wouldn't have there is no way I'd do that. However, I suppose I would, well, I've never done it, But if
better
someone,
or worse, yeah, I'm not if, sure.
If someone fool. Emailed me and said and said that they would that they were deaf and they couldn't hear it, I'd probably do them a personalized one.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't do that for every video.
So talk to me about the demand of social media, and as we both know, how it can be the positive and negative comments and the full on demand and pressure. How did you navigate that over the years?
Step by step, really. It's been, I couldn't tell you that there's been like one strategy the whole way through because you change, you know, I've been on there 12 years. So I'm a very different person to how I was 12 years ago. And I've had many relationships in that time. So I haven't had one kind of one idea that I've kind of stuck to, I suppose.
Did it ever affect you kind of receiving
tons
anything negativity?
Tons of times. So when I first got on social media, we were using the MacBook to film our videos and it flips you. So you see your face in reverse image, which is actually how you really look because we only ever see ourselves in a mirror, right? So I didn't realize my face was that uneven. Now I know just how uneven it is. But yeah, I went for a consultation for a nose job because people kept saying how uneven it is. Yeah, it is uneven, but I don't care anymore. Do you know what I mean? But back when I was in my mid-20s.
Back when everyone thinks that it is their job to tell you what's wrong with your face.
Yeah, then it did bother me. So yes, I went for a consultation and then I never did it. I just woke up and was like, my nose is fine. So I've been through that. I've been through body image issues, you know, where every time, especially when I was first getting my photo taken, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know, I've had a breast reduction on there. Not live, but, you know, since I've been on there, that would have been a bit graphic.
I'm sure someone has.
But I didn't have it done because of social media. Actually, you rarely ever saw my boobs because it was all from sort of shoulders up.
Was it for back pain?
It wasn't for back pain. It was just purely because I hated it and I'd always hated it.
Okay.
I just never felt like, I never felt comfortable with them or like it was me. And so when I finally sort of plucked up the courage to do it, I was ready. But it took a long time to get there. So yeah, but I talked about that and let everyone know after the fact. What else? I mean, so many things have happened since I've been on there. You know, Nick has been diagnosed with MS, which she talked about. Nick had multiple miscarriages, which she talked about. I was diagnosed with depression, which I talked about. Sometimes I feel like it's therapy for me. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of cathartic to just talk about it because most of the time it's just me talking to a camera anyway, so I might as well be talking to myself. So it's just purging your thoughts, you know?
So it's almost like an online diary, essentially removing the audience
totally.
And just doing it for that cathartic element.
And the more honest I am, the easier it is. Do you know what I mean? If you're honest, you never have to...
Cover your tracks.
You never have to cover your tracks. You just and if people are having a go at you, at least they're having a go at you
for who you
for
really
who
are.
You are. Yeah,
because I think the worst hate that comes from online is something that isn't true or just a perception that someone has built. And I think there's some sort of a your perception of me is not my problem, as in I actually have no control. So if you've got an idealistic view of how I look or how you think, I haven't told you that. So if that changes or you're not how someone expects you to be, you can't do anything about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we only have to look at Meghan and Harry and all of that drama to see that some people will see things completely different to other people. Do you know what I mean? She can't win. People look into every single thing that she says, every single thing that she wears, every single look that she does.
Yeah, I can't physically imagine it. It's hell to me.
At all. And so you realise when you look at the media that there's absolutely no point in fighting it or denying anything. You might as well just let people jog on with it and just have their own whatever makes you happy, whatever gets you through, love. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I know you said it's obviously naturally changed over the 12 years, but have you ever retaliated to hate? Do you ever respond? Do you completely ignore it? What's your approach?
I used to be supremely sarcastic. I went through stages. Sometimes I call people out. There's no point. It actually makes you feel anxious and it's stressful.
So you're worried about what's next.
Yeah. Then sometimes I'd be sarcastic, you know, and so they couldn't really tell if I was being nice or not nice. I sign everything with a kiss, you know, so, but which used to sort of get me through. And then now I just don't even bother. You know what I do? This is one of my favorite things to do on Instagram. There's this one woman who I've blocked a few times. She keeps coming on under different names, but I can always tell it's the same woman because of the things she says and the way that she says them. Anyway, there's this great thing on Instagram where you can restrict someone. It's my favorite thing.
They talk to themselves.
So she's literally looking. She's going on a post and she'll reply to everyone, trying to get them to reply to her and slag me off. But no one can see it apart from me. So it's just...
And her.
And it's just my favorite. Except now she'll know because she'll probably listen to this just to moan about it. So anyway, if you are listening, I've very much enjoyed watching you talk to yourself.
And that's only a new feature. And I think that it's something that I enjoy as well. And that exactly as you say, that you can be at peace with not doing anything.
Totally.
I like the phrase, don't dance with the energy.
Absolutely.
I don't need to dance at all.
Yeah.
But let them have a little jig by themselves.
Totally.
I want to go back to Pixie Woo and the creation of that, where the name came from. We have a drag queen called Pixie Woo in Ireland, by the way.
I know.
So when
follow.
People hear Pixie Woo, that's what they think of. So I presume it's after you guys. Where did it come from? And talk to me about the build from Pixie Woo YouTube days to Real Techniques.
So it came from an old email address I just had and an old YouTube account that was under that name. So you know how your first ever one is like Dark Angel or something ridiculous? Yeah. That was mine.
Twinkle Star _13.
There you go. So you would be that on YouTube now if you were me. And it was Nick's, we always called Nick Nixie Pixie because she had like pixie ears. So, you know, we were always Pixie this, Pixie that. So I had this Pixie Woo email address and that's how the name came about. It's not a particularly exciting story, but it has been memorable.
Yeah.
It worked for us.
Pixie Woo was formed.
Yeah.
How did Real Techniques come about? What was that journey like?
So we had been on YouTube probably, I think Real Techniques has been going about 10 years now. So we'd been on there a couple of years and obviously the company that owns Real Techniques were looking to start a brand. And they'd noticed that social media might be the next thing. So they were looking at potential people to be the face of this brand that they could work with on social media. And it turned out that we were those people. How lucky and fortuitous. I think a lot of people think that it's our company. It's not our company. But we've worked very, very closely.
I think it's because you're so heavily involved. I saw you answer that kind of recently and you're very pedantic in that it's not. But you face it so strongly that you're not just modelling for the face of the brushes.
Absolutely.
It is an expansive brand that you have a lot of creative.
Oh my God. We've been involved in every single brush that you've seen so far. Every single brush we've been involved with. Some of them we don't actually see until they come out, but we approved them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then they just get sort of, they sit there in boxes as approved brushes that can go in sets.
So you've had the creative kind of outlet to be flexible enough in how you work with them, which is amazing.
So lucky because there's a whole product development team over in Chicago who go off to China and to Korea and to Japan and look for the new trends and what we can bring over to this market and the US and what will work. And so we're lucky in that we've not had to do that part of it, but we get to meet with them a couple of times a year and go through everything and talk about how we can change it to make it better for our market.
And I think that immersing yourself so creatively on that front is what's made it so successful, because a lot of brands flop when the face of the brand quite literally is the face of the brand. They're not getting into that kind of sandwich element of behind the scenes.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's been such a great journey. We have loved it. Not every second, because there's been times that Nick and I have been at each other's throats. But what a great brand and what a brilliant... we traveled the world, you know, and
it's been part of allowing you get to this semblance of freedom.
Totally.
Because it's business acumen.
Yep.
And it's allowing you remove yourself from online and coming on when you want to, which is the dream.
Totally. And also in terms of in terms of getting our faces out there, we're on the back of all those brushes, Boots, Superdrug, Asda, Walmart, Walgreens.
And getting into America must be, like, what are your pinch me moments?
Oh, gosh, so many. I'll have to really, really think about it. So pinch me moments. I guess when we did our documentary with the BBC, that was amazing. So we did a week's filming in LA, and we got to do it based on all the old film stars that we loved. So it was complete nerding out for a week. And the film crew were hilarious, and we had such a laugh. And even though it was just a DVD thing, and I don't actually know how well it did, to be honest, but you should never do things to sell things. You only ever do things that you're 100% happy with, so that if for whatever reason it doesn't do very well, and I actually don't know how well it did because nobody told me, then you can still walk away and go, do you know what? I loved every minute of that and I have no regrets. So we're like that with our book as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think the book did quite well, but it's not something that I just desperately focus on, because the success is doing it rather than the selling it.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely takeaway for advice for people listening, where the right motive is so key.
Yeah.
And the input, not the output.
Totally.
It's the journey and not the destination.
It's always the journey with me and Nick. And, you know, there's a lot of money that gets banded around in social media. And we've had a lot of opportunities to do work with brands that we wouldn't necessarily ever have done if they hadn't paid us. And therefore, we haven't done it because it hasn't been the right product or the right brand. And I think that definitely your motives have to be completely spot on when you do that. It isn't about the money, it's about your credibility and it's about the journey
and who you are, and bringing that to the brand or whatever brand you're working with.
Totally.
As well, because I think that there is this really false perception that this world is not only just glamorous, that it's filled with money and fancy bags and things, and whatever people who are slightly younger are perceiving from this influencer world. But there's a lot of detriment that can happen in the middle of that if you go for the wrong reason. So I get a lot of questions with kind of younger girls saying, I want to be an influencer, I want to be a blogger. And the advice is always to have a backbone career or talent of some kind and explore that and see what comes,
also,
but not to be the end.
I agree, but I also want to know, what do you want to influence? Why do you want to influence? What is your influence? Mm. Do you know what I mean? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Because it's a huge thing to be an influencer. You're thinking about what you're actually doing as an influencer.
Yeah.
Is you are telling people to spend their hard-earned money on something that you've been given. So you have to be absolutely 100% sure that you'd spend your own money on that product. Mm. And if you wouldn't, you shouldn't be talking about it.
Because I feel it always comes full circle, because if you are promoting kind of every Tom, Dick and Harry in 10 different tans, whatever doesn't work and flop for people, they're coming back to you. So it's coming full circle, where that navigation of truth is very quickly detected.
Absolutely. And you're very, very limited with your lifespan if you do that a lot. So on social media, let's put it like this, right? If you have 100% influence every time you team up with a brand, right, you lose 5-10% of your influence. So the more you team up with another brand, the more sparkle you lose, because people don't want to watch adverts. They don't want to hear that you've been paid to sell them this product. And so, you know, you have to be really careful who you team up with. And that's why I'm always a big advocate for teaming up with a brand that you fully believe in, like we did with Real Techniques. So we've only, in order to make money, it is our job, all we've had to do is talk about a brand that we absolutely love for the last 10 years. Mm. We haven't had to talk about, you know, 10 different brands a year. We've had a very good ongoing relationship. So if you can get an ongoing relationship with one brand that you can build into and work together, then that's going to give you it's going to give you better longevity in your career.
I think that's amazing advice. And I think that that's something to really pay attention to, even if you're in this career in its existence now or desiring to kind of move, whether you're a makeup artist or a chef or whatever, and you're utilizing social media. I think I like the way you put it from 100%, that you're devaluing each time.
Every time.
Even if you're being totally honest.
Yeah.
It's natural that audience drop off is occurring, because I think it almost becomes a screening society where it's like, oh, ad, ad, ad. And you're scrolling and just going over the head, and it needs to kind of be articulated to the audience that when you are doing a paid partnership, it's because you really, really want to, and they've seen the background preamble to that.
And if you are the sort of person that has done many, many that they don't believe in, the time that you do one where they do believe in, they're not going to care.
Yeah.
They're not going to believe you.
It's slightly devalued.
Absolutely.
Going back to makeup and brands, yeah. I obviously want to quick fire round at the end of this. But first of all, I just want to ask you, what does makeup do for you and what does it mean to you on a deeper level?
Oh, gosh. Do you know what? I haven't really worn makeup properly for about 3 weeks because I've been on holiday. I, however, absolutely love it. I never wear the same makeup 2 days running.
Okay.
There's a lot of times when I don't wear any makeup.
But when you do, you're stripping it down to reinvent yourself. So you're doing a fresh face each time.
Absolutely. Every single time. And I love that. It means I can be whoever I want to be, whatever day it is. So if I feel like wearing a smoky eye, I will. If I want to wear a shade of lipstick that is teeny weeny weeny bit different to yesterday's, I can do that. And I love it. I just have this thing now where I just can't wear the same thing 2 days running. It's become ridiculous. I still, you know, I might be using the same eyebrow pencil, like the same colour, but it's just a different brand. I don't know why it is, but I love it.
Do you think maybe that it's going back to the roots of why you started, but for yourself this time?
It's completely for myself. Because a lot of the time now, I don't film it.
Yeah, there's no driver.
A lot of the time I sit there and I have like some kind of serial killer documentary on in the background.
I thought you were going to say Serial. I was like, I love Serial as well.
I like Serial too. I just sit there with something like super dark on and just...
Have you watched The Hernandez?
I watched it the other day. Did you watch Don't Fuck With Cats?
Pretty... Oh my
God. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
And I did have to close the eyes for parts.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm an animal lover through and through and I found it really distressing.
I just said to Ryan.
But it's phenomenal.
I would make him tell me when I could open my eyes so I didn't have to watch that
bit. Did the exact same thing.
Wow.
But when it gets past the kind of animal element,
What an insane story.
Binge worthy, not leaving the house
totally.
Scenario.
Totally.
Definitely have cereal, definitely play with makeup.
Yeah. And so I just sit there in my room with all my lights on and I just play around with makeup and it's lovely I actually find it therapy because I've gone from doing something that I loved to then making money from something that I loved. And when you start to make money from your hobbies, it sort of takes away from the fact that you love it because you're then having to do the thing that you love.
Yeah.
And when you have to do something, for me anyway, who doesn't ever like being told what to do, it becomes a chore.
Yeah, it's arduous because you're removing the freedom.
Totally.
Which is, there's some sort of metaphor here where I feel like that's all we're geared towards getting and that the obtaining of freedom means working really fucking hard. But it's what we all want, love and freedom.
Well, that's it. And you know, often I've said money doesn't buy happiness, but it does buy freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing situation to be in. So yeah, I feel really, really blessed. But there's been a lot of sacrifices made along the way. So
yeah, and you deserve it.
It is. Do you know what? I actually do think I deserve it now.
But I think that's part of your full circle therapy where you are in scenarios like this, where it's just a small fleeting moment, but you as Sam say, I do deserve it. End of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are people that think I don't, but do you know what? I don't give a shit.
I think that you can't knock hard work no matter what the realm or field is. You have to look at something kind of from the start to the finish. And what's really nice is your audience has really grown with you. You've had such a long span for internet world.
Yeah.
That's like 100 years, right?
Yes.
You can't deny it.
And our audience are so amazing and so funny.
What's your main demographic, like age-wise? Is it really broad?
It is older.
Okay.
So it is... It starts from about, I mean, we do have some of the younger, but very small amount. So it would be 18 to, less so 18, probably 25 to 60 is our main audience. Somewhere in the 25 to 35 is our biggest amount.
Which is amazing because you're looking at totally different face, skin, texture.
Totally.
You're speaking to so many different women.
Totally. I don't speak to the young girls, and that's totally fine. I have young girls of my own and they don't want to listen to me, so I can't imagine why anyone else would who's that age. I'm just a Gen Xer.
Do they love makeup, your little girls?
They love it. They love it. I wish they appreciated it more, though. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, what's it like to grow up in Sam Chapman's house? I'm sure there's just makeup everywhere.
Makeup everywhere. There's makeup everywhere, and makeup gets delivered a lot. So it's very difficult to try and teach them that that Chanel eyeshadow palette is this much money.
Because it's their normal.
And also they don't understand, well, Lily's starting to now at 15, but Olivia at 11 doesn't really understand how much that's worth because she doesn't have her own money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these are things that we're working on.
But it's probably quite important for you as a parent coming. It's like, I suppose with celebrity, you have these amazing houses that these babies are born into. Yeah. And like, let's use the Kardashians as an example. Yeah. It's such a bizarre development of the ego to see so much and then have that as your normal. So your baseline is, but you obviously have a sector of that, and it's very important to bring it back down to show value.
And do you know, I mean, my kids have got a completely different upbringing to the upbringing that I had. Praise the Lord. But, you know, they can have a lot more things. It's very hard to not spoil them when you had the upbringing that I had. Do you know what I mean? Where you just, where you just like, you want to. But actually, you are spoiling them. So, yeah, I try
it's
not
balance,
to.
It's balance, isn't it? It's difficult.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard being a parent. Nobody knows what they're doing, do they?
And you're wanting to probably undo your childhood or the negatives of your childhood without overdoing it.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Ryan is a massive part of making it work. They absolutely adore him, and he is brilliant at communicating with them in a way that he gets on their level.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes I lack that.
So it's balancing it between the two of you. And it's like what you talked about with the sibling scenario with you and Nick.
Yeah.
The good, the bad days, and having someone that you can lean on.
Totally.
Let's end on a quick fire of makeup.
Go for it.
Okay. So everybody needs to know what your Desert Island essentials would be. What can you not live without the days that you wear makeup?
Oh God. Right. Okay. I would need some kind of, right, you have to bear in mind that these will be out of date by next week, okay? Because I change my favourites weekly.
You mean tomorrow, because it's every day.
I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. At the moment, at this very moment, I'm obsessed with the NARS tinted, they've just got this new tinted glow booster that's just come out, which I'm wearing now, which I'm obsessed with because I have a little bit of a tan. And it's going to give you a glow. If you have dry old skin like me, you'll really appreciate it. Give you a glow. And a minimal amount of coverage. So if you have a tan, you're not going to lose those nice little freckly bits that you get in the sun.
So there's nice transparency, but it's not as heavy as a tint of moisturiser?
It's not as heavy as, and it's going to give you a glow.
Okay, we need
that. So I'm into that. Concealer-wise, I am a big fan of the Bare Essentials or Bare Minerals. Are they the same thing?
Bare Minerals, I think, is mineral makeup, so it's usually powder, is it?
This is Bare Minerals. Their concealer, that's the serum one.
Okay, I don't
amazing.
Know.
It's amazing.
Okay.
It's absolutely amazing. I also love Clear de Peau concealer, but, you know, you have to mortgage your house to buy it.
Yeah, and I don't think we have that quite readily. And is it in Space NK?
No, it's
we
in
don't
Harrods.
Have it in Ireland, yeah.
I've got this. Sorry if you can hear that noise. I've got this Fitbit, which is new.
Is it telling you to move?
No, it drives me mental.
Breathe.
But for some reason, it's linked up to my calendar. So it keeps telling me things are deleted that have been in my diary for like 5 years. It's driving me mental. So apologies if you heard that. Right. So that was foundation, concealer, mascara. I'm going to go for the Clinique Lash Power.
Okay.
Tubing mascara, because it just stays on.
I have baldy lashes, so I need all the help, and I usually use the YSL Faux Seals.
Oh, that's
quite
amazing.
Nice.
I love YSL.
I find it layers quite nicely.
The only problem I have with those is that they all go under my eyes, but I love the fullness. Mm-hmm. So what you could do is you could do that. You could wear the YSL and then coat it with the Clinique.
Okay.
So that it, because it's tubing, it's just going to coat it and then it won't transfer under your eyes.
Yeah. Let's talk brows.
Brows. At the moment, I'm using Surratt eyebrow pencil.
Okay.
Do you know Surratt? It's in Space NK.
Yeah, it's again not a brand that's that big in Ireland, but we do have Space NK.
It is in there, and their eyebrow pencil I really love. It's very thin. And a bit of a twist up. I love a twist up. Got a brush on, like a spoolie on the end, so I'm well happy with that.
Do you microblade?
I have microbladed.
Or
but
Febreze,
it's a bit
whatever.
Faded now. But I would do it again.
Mine fades really quickly.
Does
I think you have quite similar skin to me where it's a yellow tone.
Yes.
And she was explaining to me, because like I was eating the dye like no other. The first few days that I get it done, I'm obsessed with my eyebrows. Then it scabs and I heal immediately. And it goes to a grayish almost tint. And she explained that the reason, because my mum gets it too, and she is blonde, blue eyes, but skinny and really fair, really well.
Yeah.
So the pigment is obviously advanced in kind of like a more sallow skin, and it's like tattoos, it fades quicker, so it's a bit of a
That's
bummer.
That's interesting. Yeah, mine fades, but I still have enough for it to look like my brows are fuller than they are naturally, because I plucked them all out in the 90s.
The tadpole, or I used to call them sperm brows.
Sperm brow.
I just don't have the end of my brow. Yeah.
So yeah, I do love microblading and I would do it again. I really love a lip balm. I love a Burt's Bees lip balm. Their coconut and pear one I'm into. I've got it in my pocket now. If I wanted to spend a bit more money on a lip balm, I'd go for an Yves Lom Kiss Mix.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the NARS? I like the tinted NARS balms that have quite a touch of colour, but they are just a really nice balm.
I don't think I've tried them. So now really I have to.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of money on lip balms. I like the Kiko lip balms. They're amazing.
You know, for me, I feel like lip balm is a therapeutic thing. It's very much mindful. It's like kind of sitting down and I'm doing this to myself for a couple of minutes and it's like a breathe.
There is nothing I hate more than when my lips feel sore.
Yeah.
It drives me mental.
We're on a desert island, so you probably don't need any eyeshadow, but let's move into blush and eyeshadow.
If I had to pick a blush right now, I'd go for the Chanel Le Beige Twist Up one. And the colour is, can't remember, but it looks like a bronzer. And it's lovely. So it's really quite peachy when you put it on.
I use their Soleil Tan de Chanel bronzer, where I wear no makeup and just that, and
it's
adore it.
It is great.
And I always get a lot of questions of how one uses it. I just put it on with a kabuki brush.
Yeah,
like
that's how I brush
whatever
it
brush
on.
I bloody have at the time.
Absolutely.
Minimal.
Yeah.
Could you layer with that, even though it's kind
you
of a
could.
Tan colour?
You totally could. Yeah. It's a fairly similar product, just one's in a twist up stick with a little bit of shimmer, and the one that you use is a bit more matte.
Okay.
Eyeshadow wise, I guess. Oh, God. My favourite eyeshadows are Viseart. Have you used a Viseart?
No.
It's a professional
You're just making me
brand.
Want to shop now.
Sorry.
Because the ones that I don't know.
I always
know.
Do this because these are my faves.
Have you heard of this obscure brand that you absolutely need?
Do you have a Selfridges?
Yeah. Well, I do round the corner from here.
Ah, yes. Selfridges sell it.
We can shop online on Selfridges.
Viseart palettes. They come in like, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got about maybe 40 colours in it.
So it's like
best
the Z
quality.
Palettes back in the day?
Yes.
Are they pre-made or do you choose your...
They're pre-made.
Okay.
And I like number one, it's matte and it's got all of the shades in it. And I've never used quality like it.
Wow.
They're fantastic.
Silky
it's
smooth,
a dream.
No fallout.
It's the most, absolutely no fallout. And it is an absolutely, you know, it's the most enjoyable eyeshadow application you'll ever do. I just sit there and don't film it and enjoy every second.
Watching crime thrillers in the
exactly
background.
Exactly that.
Sam, you've been an absolute dream. Dream guest.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
I really, really appreciate it. And for anyone who's not following you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Sam Chapman on Instagram.
Thank you.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Please rate, review and subscribe if you enjoyed. Ratings on iTunes really do make a difference and they take just 2 minutes to fill out. Feel free to also tag myself and Samantha Chapman on stories if you enjoyed, and I'll see you next time on The Other Side of Perfect.